and it is shadow praise. Father, let the mantles fall. Let fresh fire burn. Let the oil drop. And let nobody leave you at this time. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. As you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone here to the service. And I bring you greetings from the UK. We went to United Kogi. This weekend. And had the most exciting program in Ida. In the first service, we didn't mention this, but God also gave us a celebration song all the way from Ida. We'll sing that shortly.
A mega blast.
Total blast. And to God be all the praise. God will give us blastful testimonies in Jesus' name. Very, very quickly, I'm going to be speaking on a subject that is very, very important. It's titled, Understanding the Nature of Vision. Understanding the nature of vision. In the book of Proverbs chapter 29 and in verse 18, it said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. This morning our objective is threefold. Number one, understanding the nature of vision. Number two, we shall be defining what vision is from the scripture. Number three, understanding the roots of vision, biblical vision. By way of introduction, in the first service, I said that vision is a critical and vital necessity for life. As far as life is concerned, vision is almost as critical as oxygen to the soul. The uselessness of life without vision can be seen in the wastefulness of a man who appears on the farm without knowing what he came to farm. The man who went to the market without anything in particular he came to buy. When our children were growing up, there was this thing they got for them. I think it's a movie. I don't know what. Alice in Wonderland. So one of the days, I don't know, I just was watching along with them. Then the big bird was going and asked one of the characters there. He said, please, where is this road going? And then that other character asked, and where do you want to go? And the bird said, nowhere in particular. Then the character said, then it doesn't matter where the road is going. Just follow the road. Since you are not going anywhere in particular, it doesn't matter. Just follow the road because you are not going anywhere. Anywhere the road goes, follow it. And it will lead you anywhere. A life without vision is like following a road going nowhere. And if you don't know where you are going, you will not like where you will end. You won't like it. This is how vital vision is to life. That you sleep every night with a purpose, with reason. You wake up every morning with a reason. And I am going to identify about 6 important things that we must know about vision that confers importance to vision. Number one, and I'm not going to follow what I said in the first service because of time, and I want everyone to please pick up the first service message, or rather go online and watch what was preached in the first service. But for this service, number one, life has a bearing with vision. Vision gives life a bearing. With vision, your life is following a particular direction. That is, with vision, you know that your life is going somewhere in particular. Your life is headed somewhere. Without vision, life has no bearing. I remember many years ago, I met a young man my age. We grew together. But he was not doing well in life. And I said to him, what would you like to do? Can you be assisted to set up anything, business? He said he can't think of anything. At the time we were talking, he was being in his 40s. He can't think of anything. I said, okay, think about it and come. It took him about 6 months. He wasn't doing anything. When he came back, he said, he has known what to talk of what to do. So I gave him some money. He returned back about 6 months later with the money intact. He still didn't know what to do. Still didn't know. No fear. I'm telling you, real life, that was where I realized that the devil is not to blame for everything. That somebody is stranded or somebody is not making anything out of life. It's not all about the devil. It's not all about witches or wizards. It's not all about the forces of darkness. There are people who have nothing. They don't have any idea of what to do with life. Life only has a bearing with vision. Number two, life gains enthusiasm with vision. Enthusiasm. People of vision are people of enthusiasm. With vision, you are enthusiastic about life. You are optimistic with life. Where there is no vision, there is pessimism, negativism. With vision, there is optimism, there is enthusiasm. You find life interesting with vision. So write a vision, make it plain. People of vision, they enjoy their lives. Somebody told me yesterday, was it at the crusade ground? He said, you are just enjoying your life. It's true. You are just enjoying your life. Very, very true. Are you tired from the things you do? Not necessarily. Even though we need rest from time to time. But there is such a tonic to life. Such an enthusiasm. When your life is headed in a particular direction. Number three, life and time are burdens without vision. Life becomes a burden. Time is burdensome without vision. With vision, if you know what to do with your life, time is an asset. Not a wastable asset. If you don't know what to do with your life, time is a liability. You have plenty time with nothing to do with it. I I am on the crusade ground. Yet I am preparing things, messages, I'm preparing notes, I'm doing other things. Other things that have no bearing with the crusade. Fully engaged. If you have too much time and you have too little to do with the time, beloved, what you are suffering from is the bankruptcy of vision. Time is an asset. Where there is vision, time is a burden. Where there is no vision, life becomes burdensome. Sleep tired, wake up tired. Because you don't have what to do with life. Number four. Vision molds character and instills positive habits. When a man is a man of vision, his character is molded. His character is also predictable. He has power habits, like wake up on time. He has power habits. They are established. When a man, a woman has no vision, there is nothing about them that is predictable. Their character is not predictable. I went to preach somewhere in the state. They asked me to come and talk to the executive of the state. And after I finished talking, the leadership of the state, through one of the commissioners, brought an envelope and said, "This is to appreciate you." And I said, "I don't collect money." From the authorities, like, "I don't collect money. I didn't come here to collect money." I said, "Really?" So the governor looked at him and said, "I told you you will not collect it. But you said, let you try. You knew before." He is predictable. He knew before. During this construction, somebody brought an offering from their organization, which is a governmental organization, as a support to the person. I said to the person, "This is not a government project. He doesn't need such support." He wrote a letter to bring it. We wrote a letter to return it. So that all is recorded. He said, "Oh no, I just felt like," say, "Oh no. Direct it somewhere else. You want here to enter record that money from the quarters they entered here for project, that devil is a liar." Anything God can, any work God cannot build, may it remain. If it is the work of God, and the God of the work cannot build it, go and ask whether he sent you. Go and confirm afresh. Are you following what I'm saying? Go and confirm and reconfirm. When we stepped into ministry, we stepped with a passion. "Lord, you are the doer and the owner of this work. We value everybody. We respect everybody. But we do not hold anybody in value as sponsor of the work." Am I communicating? But when people have no vision, they can almost lose their ministry. And they are running helter-skelter around men. They are just running helter-skelter. Am I communicating at all? There are habits that you form, dictated by your vision. The habits you form, dictated by. I don't know if I have eaten on a Sunday morning before coming to church for 29 years. Why? How? It's not a law, but I am pregnant to deliver. So let me deliver first, then I'll remember food later. I am also desperate to meet somebody's need. So let that partial fasted mood be maintained until the service is over. I don't need to think about it. My wife cannot mistakenly present food. Nobody. He said, jump and pass. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am not, you see, examples communicate principles. I'm not saying it to impress you at all. God knows my heart. But to just let you know that there are things that just discipline, just there are habits that are formed on the basis of what you are after in life. If I say more things, some people will be too concerned. So let me stop here. But when a person lacks vision, there's nothing in particular that is on his mind. Anything is possible. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say louder amen. One time, we got visa that gave us residency permission in a particular country of the world, topmost country of the world. They say you can have the passport of that country if only you can fulfill the condition. What is the condition? You have to stay for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks at a stretch. Or how many? 2 months? 3 months? Or 2 years? How many? And then return and come. Return. I say, who? Even 1 week that includes Sunday, I can't stay. Belated. Keep your passport. Let me keep my assignment. Condition. Was that passport to heaven? That I will make a whole assignment in jeopardy. There are people who lost their destiny. I was talking with a man the other day. He had such an arrangement. I went to a particular country that was Canada or something. Everything he had here, he lost 3/4 of it. Hallelujah. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are people whose assignment is there. I haven't spent more than 5 days in America forever yet. 5 days. UK, highest, 4 days. Assignment is calling everywhere. If you don't have any vision, I'm in Paris. Picking my teeth with toothpick in whatever hotel. Just on nameless holiday. From there to another place, to another place, to another place. Whatever is your life is suffering. That will never be your portion. That will never be your portion. I announce to somebody here today, God will engrace you with the character it requires to fulfill your destiny. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. God will engrace you with the character you require
to fulfill your destiny. Shout the loudest, amen.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Vision molds character and instills positive habits. Number five. Vision is the fuel for conviction. People of vision are people of conviction. They are highly convinced. The opposite is true. Most people without vision are people without conviction. What does that mean? They tag along with the crowd. They are people of the consensus, no conviction. They follow the majority. They follow the popular vote. They have no mind of their own. And they have no voice of their own. Everybody is doing this. Oh, why not? Let's all do it. Everybody jackpot. Oh, why not? Let's all be also jackpot. I met a woman some time ago. She went to the UK, got a certificate of sponsorship or something. Life there did not work out at all. But her major problem is that she can't return back to Nigeria. Because everybody is expecting, you have gone abroad, why are you returning? It was so confrontational. Stranded. Why was Joseph such a man of conviction? Because he was such a man of vision. If you don't have a mind of your own, you can't have a future of your own. Beloved brothers and sisters, it is time to let vision define your life and let conviction define your destiny, not the consensus. To follow the crowd is to be lost in the crowd. To follow the crowd is to be swallowed up in the crowd. People of vision, they are people of conviction. And finally, regrets. People of vision, they don't follow the bandwagon of society. No bandwagon effect. Finally, regrets are minimized with vision. For most people at the end of the day, at the end of the week, but importantly at the end of the month, so much regrets. Then at the end of the year, they look back with a lot of regrets. But the worst one is at the end of life. So much regret. Where you hear people say, if I can do it over again, if I can live my life over again, I will do this, I will do this, I will do that. You won't have to live it, you won't have to wait till when you think you live it over again, you do it now. Regrets are minimized where vision is in place. I decree for somebody here, your life will not end in regrets. If that amen is from God, shout a louder amen. Your life will not end in regrets. In Jesus' precious name, what have we said so far? First of all, that life has bearing with vision. Number two, that life gains enthusiasm with vision. And then that life and time become burdens without vision. And then that vision molds character and instills positive habits. And then that vision is fuel for conviction. People of vision are people of conviction. They don't flow with the crowd. your regrets are minimized with vision. Question is, what is vision? We gave three definitions in the first service. We'll give another three in this service. First, vision is the inner picture or dream of your God-ordained future. Vision is the inner picture or the dream of your God-ordained future. That was what happened to Joseph. Genesis 37, verse 3 to verse 9. God showed Joseph dreams of his future, and that became his picture. His picture. The inner picture or dream of your God-ordained future. That picture is just there. That dream is just there. Secondly, vision is the discovery and pursuit of God's purpose for one's life. You discover it, then you pursue it. What is the purpose of God for my life? What is the purpose of God for me on earth? Why am I? Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. He said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. And before you came forth, I ordained thee as a prophet. The discovery and pursuit of God's purpose for one's life. And thirdly, vision is the mental image of life's desirable outcome. This one is coming out of you. It's the mental image of life's desirable outcome. I don't want to end a beggar. I want to end a giver. That picture is in your mind. The end you desire. And you know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. I'm sure you remember that. You delight yourself in the Lord. I believe that was Psalm 37 verse 3 or 4. He will give you the desires of your heart. What is my desirable outcome? Check that. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He will put in your heart even what to desire. I see how everybody in my family is ending. I will end differently. That desire. I see how the climate around me is. This is how my life will be. This is how my life will be. I grew up in a big home. Polygamous home. I used to call it metagamous home. Big home with all manner of experiences that come with such a home. I made up my mind that what I saw as a child growing in such a home, my children will never see. It was a determination as a young boy. What my mother saw as a wife, my wife will never see. That is not that God spoke to me. It is that I desired it. I determined it. And that's what I tell young children today. The things that make you bitter should make you better. Everything that hurt you should instruct you. And I went after it with intensity. When it was time to trust God for a marriage, I trusted God. God gave me my wife. And God gave us our children. Our children can testify. And they said to me, Daddy, if someone is coming and saying, talking marriage, he has a long checklist to tick. It's because you have shown us what love is all about. You have shown us everything. So people have to. Do you understand what I'm talking about? My wife is aware. She has zero pressure under heaven. Zero. Because I vowed. I tell my children, when you want to ask for anything, don't go corner. Ask direct. If you need it and I have it, you have it. I'm not talking about you are 15 years or 13 years and say you want to drive. That is not allowed. I said, let me be a picture to you like Heavenly Father. You don't go to Heavenly Father begging and cringing. Will he shout on me if I say I need his presence? So you don't come to me wondering if I will shout. No. It's out of the question. So you have a picture in your heart of how your end should be. You have that picture. Whether it's from circumstances or from anything, you have that picture. And your picture affects your future. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved brothers and sisters, if there is anything you desire, and it is scriptural, it can be your picture. If it is a desire and it is in scripture, it can become your picture of your future. That is vision. That is vision. Now, what are the roots? So, what is vision again? Three things I said. That vision is the inner picture or dream of your God-ordained future. Again, vision, number two, is the discovery and pursuit of God's purpose for one's life. And then vision is the mental image of life's desirable income. Outcome. I've seen things around me, but this is the kind of life I want to live. This is the kind of picture of the future I like to have. I had a picture of a marriage. I don't know why I'm talking in this direction. But I lived with a young man who was my best man in my wedding. We lived together in the same room in the university for 3 years. We didn't argue one day, no argument. Nobody said, this money is my money. Our money was put in the suit pocket inside the wardrobe. You needed it, you go and pick it. I needed it, I go and pick it. 3 solid years. When we met on the campus, we leave in the morning by 8 a.m. When we meet in the campus in the day about 12, we'll hug as if we have not seen for 1 year. When I saw the reality of me living with a man without crisis, I vowed that I can't live with a woman with crisis. This is a man like me, bone to bone, bone bone, iron iron. Even if you have to say iron break, we didn't break the iron there yet. Now, this is me, bone with flesh. Masculine with feminine. There should be no cause for friction. And there hasn't been a cause for friction. When our children were growing up and they were, leave me alone, find it. And they are, sit down here, tell me where you saw the example. This example you want to manifest, where you see them? Why do you want to manifest what you have not observed? That was the answer. Ended forever. Now they are like this. It's such that we are even wondering, you people are going to marry. Everybody will go to their own houses. So how are you going to cope? This one wants to travel. This one cannot go. It's okay. Because this one is not able to travel, I will remain with her. All manner like this. So you paint the picture. This is the kind of marriage I will have. This is the kind of ministry I will have. This is the kind of business I'm going to run. That picture from the circumstances and situations of your life, you paint it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see a new day for somebody. If you are that person, say louder, amen. If you are that person, say louder, amen. If you are that person, shout the loudness, amen. Very, very quickly as we begin to round off, what are the roots of vision? How does vision come? Again, we looked at five of them in the last service. But we won't go through now. Now, number one, by revelations, okay, call it spiritual revelations and visions through the Holy Spirit. Spiritual revelations, visions, and dreams through the Spirit of God. Like Joseph dreamt, vision came for him. What he will become in the future, he saw it in the dream. By spiritual revelations, dreams, and visions. Number two, by attention to, that's Genesis 39 again, 3 to 9. Number two, by attention to inherent potentials and giftings. You look inside and you see what God has put in you. And it has a connection with what you will do with your life. Genesis chapter 40, if you read the whole story from chapter verse 3 all the way to verse 5, verse 8, you will see how the gift of Joseph manifested in the interpretation of dreams. David stood in the palace of King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17, for the first time. 1 Samuel 16, 17, all the way to verse 21. By his gift. If you can pay attention to your potential, you can unravel your purpose. If you can pay attention to your gifts, to your endowment, you can discover your assignment. Somebody say amen. And if you are multiply gifted like some of us, you need to know how to harness the gifts so that it doesn't lead to confusion. How to tie them together so that you are focused while expressing all of the graces that God has put in you. Number three, root of vision is by attention to burdens of the heart and pull of the spirit. There is something we call the burden. You are weighed down, you are burdened. That was the kind of thing that happened to Nehemiah. Pull, P-U-L-L. Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, he saw the wall of Jerusalem broken down, the gates burned with fire, and he put a burden in his heart. What is it that is weighing you down?
What burden do you carry? What do you want to find answer to?
It's a clue to the vision of your life. Burden. Burdens of the heart. Number four. By access to light, insight, and revelation from the Word of God.
You are studying the Word, and all of a sudden something jumps at you.
Access to light.
Access to insight. Access to revelation
from the Word of God. Something jumps at you. Hallelujah. How many of you remember King Josiah? He was 8 years old when he became a king. In 1 Kings chapter 13 and in verse 2. Where the man of God prophesied. He said, "Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places." He was prophesied almost 380 years before he was born. And then somebody opened the Bible for him in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And in verse 30, he saw his name in the Bible. In the prophecy. And his mind almost scattered. The assignment he was not attending to before, he rushed into that assignment. Beloved, the day you find yourself in the Bible, it may not be directly your name, but it was as if that passage was written with you in mind. That day, everything turns. I've come across scriptures like that about myself in scripture plentifully. And finally, number five. By inspiration from people of vision and impact. People of vision and impact. You look at their lives and certain things about their lives resonate with your life. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. The Bible said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus Christ. Men. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. That you be not slothful, but be ye followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Hallelujah. I saw Faith Tabernacle in Canaan land from the scratch in the year of 1998. We were there, I believe it was September 15th, to do groundbreaking. I drove with God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo, my father in the Lord, round the bare ground where when it was only forest, no house. I saw the building rise. I saw the roof come. I saw us worship under it when the roof was not totally covered and the rain beat us. I saw the building completed and dedicated in 1 year. It just imparted meganess that big things are cheap to achieve. I didn't need to stretch too much faith. What you see, you can dare. What you have seen, you can dare, you can seize. When we began to look for land, property, one of the men that wanted to buy property from. He said, there is 10 hectares here. There is 15 hectares here. There is 20 something hectares here. I said, it will not be enough for what we want to do. He told my wife, he said, madam, wait till your guy won't take land too. This glory dome and his premises is sitting on almost 30 acres only. This one alone. With his parking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Matter of waiting, your guy won't take land, too. You know, Siam. You know, Siam. There are other approvals we have. I will announce to you shortly. Things, mega constructions this year. Fill up the whole of the backside there. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So, inspiration. Papuyedepo went to Oral Roberts University and stood on that ground and saw the Lord, big tower. Archbishop Idahosa went there too. What God did using the hand of a man to build. That center there is 70-story building. This, the one in the center there, and it's sitting on about 30 stories. Almost 110 stories on one ground. The Archbishop said, this is what God can do with one man. And the voice of the Lord said, it's possible anywhere in the world. Same with Bishop Oyedepo. When I saw that the two of them went there, I followed in their footsteps. I stood on bare ground in front of that building. Are you following what I'm saying here today? The reason why there is no much progress in our generation is that we have a vagabond generation who have no value for oil. They don't have value for fathers. People that should be impacting them, they are attacking them. And they are wondering why they are amounting to nothing. And they are angry that the people that they are attacking are growing bigger. It's just a vagabond generation. Please don't do that. Anybody who is in front of you is in front of you. Is in front of you. Come all the way down so you don't die of hypertension. I'm telling you. Just calm down. Rolls Royce will never become Mercedes. Not to talk of Volkswagen. Do you understand? Just, if you see me around our fathers in the Lord, I was talking with Daddy Gio last night. I was talking with Papa Oyedepo. We talked twice while we were in crusade in Ida. It will appear as if we are doing nothing at all. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. People who are not carrying even fly, they are ogre. They are bosses. They can talk and untalk. Without CC of impact, no life touched, no destiny changed. Please don't follow such ways. There is a secret to the elephant size. Don't criticize the size. Learn the secret. If there is no secret, why is antelope not big? Did you hear what I just said? There is a secret to the elephant size. Learn the secret. Don't criticize the size. By inspiration from people of vision and impact. Iron sharpeneth iron. Fire begets fire. From their flame, you can catch your flame. In conclusion this morning, what is the way of vision? two things I would say. How do I access vision? Number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, the person on the keyboard is not sleeping. Possess the God first lifestyle and mentality. If you give God his place in your life, you must find your place on earth. Take that. Give God his place. Give God his place. Give God his place. In the Ida Crusade, the Polytechnic Crusade, I saw two people there and I recognized them publicly. One, we're in campus fellowship together in 1986, which is 40 years except for 2 more years. One more year, 39 years. Where he was there seated, deputy rector of the Federal Polytechnic there, an engineer. Then the other one, Bishop Francis. We did 3 days dry fasting together in 1979. How many years are those? Uncle, how old were you then? Minus. The year is negative. Do you understand? And they were there. This was how we have pursued God from the beginning. There was nothing like, what is your prayer request? None. No prayer request. Went to evangelism, empty stomach. Returned back. Aggressive. University campus. Disturbing people inside bus. When they see you coming, they say he's here again. Praise the Lord. I am here to let you know that... One day I was preaching in front of female hostel, Naraguta Hostel Block D, evening. As I thundered, one young lady closed her ears and started running. If, leave us alone, it's enough. I was running in frenzy. I'm sure it was a demon manifesting. Leave us alone is enough. That was the kind of way we pursued God. And as God saw that we pursued him, he said, let me place you on the path of purpose. Don't struggle for what others struggle about. Don't struggle. So we didn't pray for car. We don't pray for house. We don't pray. Don't struggle. You want to go where I want you to go? Go it easily. You want to go where others will not go for my sake? Let go it easy. Am I communicating at all? I want to beg you. We have an opportunity this year to serve God like never before. There are those who are committed to winning 1,000 souls. And I want to encourage those people, don't slack. Don't let the month of March arrive and you have not fulfilled your January and February quota, because when you made the commitment, God saw it. And God is supplying you help to get it done. And the rest of us, whatever it is, let the passion for the kingdom be your driving force. And you'll come to the point where, like I am saying now, you won't ask for things before those things ask for you. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. The second thing to do is to deliberately ask God to unveil his purpose for you, your purpose and life assignment. Lord, I cannot be in the world aimlessly. You don't waste your time creating nobodies. You don't waste your time creating people to do nothing with their lives. Here am I, Lord. Do something important with me. Do something. When you say so, God will do it. Once in a while, interrupt your own life schedule. Am I on course, Lord? Is there something you need me to do I'm not doing? Help me, Lord. And as we do so, grace, help, and mercy shall be released in Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands and give Him the praise. Give Him the praise. Give Him the praise. Give Him the honor. We're going to pray in a short while. But before that prayer time, I'd like us to take a look. Our people from the Ida Crusade, we're going to do that song right now. So you position yourself. And then before we pray briefly, take a look. I went for the Methodist Church of Nigeria's annual convention on Thursday morning. Minister, the prelate of the Methodist Church of Nigeria, the archbishop and bishops were all there. They have decided that I am their own, wherever I am. Right? They have decided they won't let go. Say, you did Sunday school in Methodist, your father, your mother, you wedded in the church, so you are our own. So no challenge. After all, one of the most impactful people that God used to impact me was John Wesley. I saw a vision. Him, Smith Wigglesworth, A.A. Allen, seated together before I became a pastor. I was taken in the realm of this. Saw them and were in the conversation. Right? So I from Methodist to Ida Kogi State Crusade, incredible things. Ida Kogi State, I then went to the Federal Polytechnic Ida to minister to the students, intense ministration. All this between Thursday and now. And then returned back to Abuja and then went to the Tasha Crusade where this boy that was healed was ministered to the boy that I just took right now. So take a look at this and let's go. Let's move sharp. Oh, I thought we were going to Wesley.
We take authority over the principality cover, over Ida and over Kogi State. We declare the heavens open for Jesus.
Ida, shout hallelujah. I believe it is your season.
I believe that this land is a land of very great potential.
The ancient kingdom of the God.
But tonight we came in the name of Jesus.
And the name that is above every name.
You saw people on the phone.
You had an idea from pregnant. You were the one that came up like that.
You were checking it, the idea you thought.
We have over 21 people with an affliction on the shoulder, fighting hard to leave the shoulder,
with hand that is utterly paralyzed or stiffen and can't leave.
I'd like you to move that hand.
God is giving me mental conditions right now.
I take authority over the spirit of insanity.
Lose your grip on the mind of the people.
Jesus, you are my Savior.
You are my Savior.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
I receive my freedom.
I receive my freedom.
I am not mad.
I am not mad.
And I cannot be mad.
And I cannot be mad.
I receive freedom now.
I receive freedom now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
No! You tormented devil of insanity.
That's the father of a former madman. Emma.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Let this be completely healed now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is well done. What by yourself now?
You let go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In no bag and no. In no bag and no.
Come back.
In no bag and.
The eyes of the young brother.
The power of charms will no longer hold you
down. Charms been dropped.
The grip of fetish will no longer hold you down.
As we pray the release of fire through these oil bottles in your hand, in the name of Jesus, everywhere the oil is used, the power of that will go into operation. The power of the evil shall be done.
The judgment of iniquitous bondage, the judgment of all diseases,
the judgment of all.
assurance and basis. The judgment of every wicked strong man or woman in the land of Ida. In the nation of Igala, we decree today that this fire will burn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, I release the fire in either local government.
That Dunamis Church dedication Friday morning. Campus Fellowship.
To make the most of our life. There is just one life to live.
Crowded.
In life, there is no other.
Crowded.
If you don't plan your life,
what about you to Kobe Street?
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, amen.
Give the Lord praise at this moment. Everything that is closed in your life is open right now. The doors are open right now. You get here with the pain is gone right now. Arthritis is healed right now. Hypertension is over right now. Diabetes is over right now. Whatever is down is coming alive. Hold somebody's hands and begin to thank the Lord for what you have received. Thank you. Trust them.
Everything that has walked away, not supposed to walk in your life, is
anyone in any other country. I declare any affliction is gone.
That's a young man we just saw. There's another one. That girl had her hand pack crippled for 13 years. Hallelujah. How many of us would like to be available in the service of the Lord? Stand up on your feet. Lift up your two hands. And say after me, say, Father. Say it loud, say, Father. I am available. Use me to your glory. Lift your voice and say, Father.
Father.
Can you place the prayer of the first service? Say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your word to me today.
For your word to me today.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Not to miss your purpose.
Not to miss your purpose.
For my life.
For my life.
Not to miss my assignment.
Not to miss my assignment.
In the land of the living.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. Take 1 minute of prayer for that. Secondly, say, Father,
Father,
I ask for the impartation of fresh fire for kingdom assignment. I ask for the zeal and the fire to work for you like never before, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands high. Everyone here today in need of surrender to Jesus. And I appreciate and welcome everyone here today. I hear that the chiefs from Suleja, Axis, we're happy to have you all around here. Welcome you, the traditional ruler. Lift your hands everywhere you are. In need of surrender to Jesus, you need forgiveness for your sins. You need today to mark a new day for you. I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. And say after me, say, Lord Jesus, louder, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life, Lord. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.